And it was really loud, and some of you guys are like, what did we just show up at? It is Youth Sunday. I'm excited. I don't know. Anybody else excited this morning? Yeah. So Amber's on our student leadership, and every Wednesday, a member of student leadership gives a scripture and what it means to them so they begin to learn how to speak into the lives of their friends and be able to basically explain what God's word means to them instead of, you know, most people. Well, you know, I tell them about, like, God and stuff, but I don't really know what to say. And so we're training them to know what to say, that God's word means something to them. And so give it up for Amber. Good job. And the youth band is that loud every Wednesday, and so we like to rock our face off like there's no tomorrow, and we decide that, you know, we're just doing what God's word says, play skillfully with a loud noise, and so we practice a bunch, and then we play as loud as we can. So, all right, well, we're glad you guys are here this morning, and I am excited for service. You know, God's put something on my heart really for the last 6 years. And, you know, when God weighs something heavy on your heart for 6 years, 6 years later, you start to get frustrated because you're like, God, what am I supposed to do with this? You put it on my heart for 6 years. And so this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And but I truly believe that's becoming more and more real and more of a state of emergency that the church needs to hear. And so this morning, the youth were so excited to minister to you guys this morning, and now we're going to get serious for a second when dive into God's word. And so let's just open in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for the chance to come and just dive into your word. Lord God, I pray that you would soften our hearts and open our ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, I would like to point out that was not the youth cell phone. Adults, come on. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. So this morning, my title of my sermon is What If? But I feel that America, the church in America, for years, for absolute years, has been preaching grace. And the thing is, yes, without grace, you could never experience eternity with God. Without grace, you know, we're saved by grace. But grace is not an excuse to sin. Grace is not an excuse to live any way you want, but because we all fall short of the glory of God, grace is what picks us up and keeps us going. And so the church in America has been preaching grace for so long that it has lost sight of what we are supposed to do with that grace. So this morning, I want to look at what God's word says. We're going to do a 5,000-foot flyover of the book of Colossians this morning, but the youth group, we are going to be going verse by verse through the book of Colossians, and I tell adults all the time, you are welcome to come check out what we do on a Wednesday night. Just make sure you check in with one of our adult leaders. Let us know you're here, and you can sit in the back and listen and see what we're learning. But I'm telling you, we're going to go verse by verse through the book of Colossians. I was going to do it with my Bible class because we just got done with the book of Acts, but it's too important for the kids that are not in my Bible class to not hear it. So this morning, we're going to do like a flyover of the something that God's put on my heart from the book. But if you want to dive into that, you can either watch us on Facebook or just come to youth group. I'm with me. All right. So we're going to be in the book of Colossians. And in Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says this. We are writing to God's holy people. What kind of people? Holy. We are writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard, everyone say heard, we have heard of your faith in Christ and your love for all of God's people. These people that Paul is writing to in a day and age of no Instagram, no Facebook, okay, no emails, has heard about the way they live for God. So this morning, God's been putting something heavy on my heart because I feel like the church is losing in society because we want to just say, well, we have to change who we are for our society to accept us, and I think we're heading down a road we don't want to go. See, these people were heard of, And so the title of my sermon this morning is, what if? What if we actually live for Jesus? What God's really put on my heart over the past 6 years is that God is calling the church back to holiness. He's calling us back to holiness. And so, you know, I truly believe that what really happened was this. People got offended at church. Well, I don't like the way to do that. The youth band played. It was way too loud. I'll just go to another church. Or the youth were like, you know, they don't play the music loud enough. I'm just going to go to another church. We just jump around churches, like hop around. I'm going to find a church that's going to do what I want to do. And if not, I'm going to take my ball and go play somewhere else. They'll miss me. No, they won't. And so what's happened is we became a Christian society that did that. And then what happened was those people had kids. And then those kids grew up with a selfish, hurt mindset. And they replaced the things of God with everything else. And society is getting faster and faster and busier and busier and busier. And we've replaced everything of God with something else. And Sundays and Wednesday nights have become one of the most busiest days of the week for sports. I was talking to somebody this week, and they were saying, man, I remember if you didn't get gas on Saturday night, you weren't getting gas till Monday because nowhere was going to be open on Sunday. And so society's gotten busier and busier, and so we have these kids that now replaced God with everything else. But then what happened? Those kids had kids themselves. And now these kids are growing up, and they have little to no knowledge of God at all. And instead of sinning in secret, we boast about our sins proudly, and we say tolerance is the best way to show love. I'm telling you this morning that God is calling his church back to holiness. First Peter 1:13 says this, so prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. And exercise self-control, put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. It says prepare your mind for action. And I have to ask you this morning, did you guys come to this place prepared to receive from God? Prepare your minds for action. See, if we want to see revival happen in this place, it starts with us. If we want to see revival happen in this place, it starts with you. It starts with me. See, we want a fast food revival. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. But, you know, God, we're asking for a move of the Spirit, but we're going to ask you to hold on the sling in the Spirit because we got sports practice at 11:45. That's what we do. We're gonna put a hold on the, and let's not get too weird now, and let's not drag it out because, you know, we got stuff to do and ain't nobody got time for that, but God, we're asking you to just move in this place. Makes no sense. And so, if you want the presence of God to flood in this place, then it is time to get ready. See, we want God to move, but I'm not gonna spend time in God's word and don't ask me to pray. You know, I want God to heal me, but I'm not going to renew my mind with what God's word says and take authority over it. I want God to fix my finances, but don't ask me to tithe. It's fast food Jesus. So now we have all these churches all over America, fast food Jesus. Pull in and we'll give you a really good sermon. Most of the churches bought the sermon, okay? And if you could bypass the church and just order it online yourself. Fast food Jesus. Yes. Hold the slain in the Spirit because I haven't got time for that. See, we want fast food moves of God, but don't ask me to do anything or change anything in my life. I'm going to look at a verse this morning that I'm going to be honest with you. I've not read this book of the Bible in 10 years. Lamentations. Some of you guys are like, that's a book? I'm not going to tell you if that was what I thought. All right. I was like, I forgot that was a book. Oh, my goodness. All right. Chapter 3, verse 22 says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. The New King James says, they are new every morning. They are new. And I believe God wants to do something new in this place. But part of the problem is this. We are living off of the move of God that happened in 1980. And we wonder why our relationship with God feels dry and stale. Church, I want to tell you something. If the last time you experienced God was when you gave your life to Him 50 years ago, that might be the reason why you struggle to tell people about Jesus. Because how do you tell people about something that's not going on in your life? God wants to do something new in you today. He wants to do something new in your family. He wants to take you to new places. And I don't care how spiritual you are. If you come to church and say, God, we want this, we want this, we want, and you ask God for the same thing every Sunday, God's going to keep giving you the same thing every Sunday. Or if you don't ask for anything, you don't expect anything. I did my time. It was an hour service. How dare Pastor Andrew go over by 5 minutes? You get what you came for. And I'm telling you, God wants to do something new in this place. In the picture that God gave me was my nephew, when he was younger, he clogged the sink and then turned it on, and it was on the second story of my parents' house, and so the water filled the sink and then overflowed, and my mom is in the kitchen doing the dishes, and it starts to rain on my mom. She's like, what is going on? And she looks up, and there's a giant bubble in the ceiling. And the picture that God gave me for Southgate Church is there's a bubble hanging over our church. And if we would just dare to poke him, we're going to experience God in a new way. But you can't poke the bubble if you exit the room. So we're going to look at something this morning. My cousin Rob, he's a pastor in Flint, Michigan. He's my favorite preacher to listen to online. He's awesome. He said this week. Heaven is literally waiting to invade earth, but can't because we're not ready. So what if the church was ready for God to do something new? And I believe it starts with the church returning to a place of holiness. Point number one this morning, if you're taking notes, I had them out there. I don't know if they got put in the bulletins. We weren't sure if we were going to have service or not. Holiness puts us in a position to receive from God. Holiness puts us in a position to receive from God. See, we're talking about this bubble that God is just daring us to poke. But holiness puts you in a place where you can reach it. If we're going to live our lives any way we want, we start to take ourselves further and further and further away from God. And then we say, well, you know what? God is love, so I don't know what the big deal is. You know, we can just do whatever we want, and I don't see the problem with it. You know, like we should just show love to everybody, and we should just be able to do whatever we want. I'm going to go preach from another room because I don't want to be in here anymore. And God's saying when you position yourself, you get to a place where you can experience something new. And he's calling us to a place of holiness. Now, before we get all legalistic here, okay, stay with me, right? 1 Peter 1:13, this is the NLT, it says this. So prepare your minds for action. We read this, the first part already. Prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. You ready for it? So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you, is holy. But the scripture says you must be what? Holy. God is calling us back to a place of holiness. Look what the verse said right before. Prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. Romans 12:2 says this, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Everyone say new person. This is the problem with Christians in America. Fast food Jesus doesn't change us into anything new. He says, but be changed into a new person by how? By changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Holiness is putting yourself in a position to become the new person God has called you to be. So let's look at this one real quick. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. You know, this 2018, I decided that I would do something new. I was not okay with just what I knew about God. I wasn't okay with just how I experienced God. I was like, God, I want something new. And I refuse to be denied. And so something that you got to know about me, until Noah was born, you can ask my wife, I could sleep till 2 in the afternoon very easily. I love to sleep. So 2018, I said, you know what, I'm going to do something new. I'm getting up at 5 every morning. And when you used to get to work at 8, and you're getting to work at 5:15, 5:30, that's a huge difference. And I said, God, I'm going to commit to you 5:30 to 8, Monday through Friday. So I did. And then you know what I did? I stopped reading the Bible, and I started writing it out instead. You know how long it takes to read two verses if you have to write it out and making sure you're not messing up? You literally meditate on that verse 10 times longer than you would if you just plowed through it. So God is doing something. Anyway, it's amazing because I'm going to be honest with you. As a pastor, we're normal guys, okay? We are normal. But what's amazing is this year, we've been in God's word so much. Number one, I'm having to write down what God is doing because it's too much to like keep track of. Like, I won't remember all this. So I'm writing it down in like a journal. But it's amazing because it's not this legalistic like, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. All of a sudden, God's word says by changing the way you think, by renewing your mind. And so basically what's going on in my life is that the way I think is beginning to change. And it's not that the TV shows I watch are bad, but I don't even want to watch TV anymore. It's crazy. I mean, March Madness is on right now. I'm not going to lie. I have the scores on my phone, okay? I keep track of the scores. But I don't even have any desire to watch TV. And so you find all of a sudden the way you think. And so it's not legalistic, like do this, don't do that. But when your mind begins to change and focus on the things of God, it's not very difficult to live differently. You just start doing it because you don't desire those things anymore. And so Colossians 3:1-6 says this, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. You ready for it? For you died to this life. Your real life is hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. This is what I kind of want to bring to you guys this morning is the reason why our nation is in the state that it's in. We celebrate each other's sins in the name of tolerance and love. But I want to tell you this morning, the real message of love is to say, I love you enough to tell you the truth. That's the real message of love. See, God does love you. If you're new here this morning, I want to tell you, God loves you. He may hate the sin that you're in, but he loves you, and he's calling you to a place of holiness. He's calling you to a new life that is free. He's calling you. We are so glad that you are here. There's no other place you could ever go that's going to create a change in your life. You are in the right place. But I want to tell you the reason why it's not so simple for Southgate Church and the Christians in America to reach the communities around them. It's not that simple because we've not died to this life, so therefore we haven't started living for Jesus. Sobering thought. It starts by being in God's word. I mean, if you never hear anything else I ever say, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Write it out. It's amazing what it will do in your life. Be in God's word. Allow it to transform your mind. It's not about this, do this, or don't do that. But men in the room, I'm a man, okay? I understand, but where's your mind? And I want to tell you that it becomes easier and easier to focus on the things of God when you are renewing your mind, when you are in God's word. It is vital as the church is being called to a place of holiness if the husbands and the men in this room would answer the call to renewing your mind. We would lead our families into the things of God. We would lead our families into a direction of holiness. Okay, nobody likes that. We'll move on. Colossians 1:9 says this, "So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding, renewing your mind." It says, "Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn," okay? "You will grow as you renew your mind to know God better and better." What produces the fruit? Your life. What if, as a church, Southgate, we said, we will answer the call and everybody around us will begin to notice and they will hear of us on the north side of the city? What if? See, number two, holiness produces good fruit in our lives. You guys, God wants to do something new, but understand something. You can't pick and eat fruit that grew 30 years ago. God wants to do something new. Oh, I've served, I've done that. Then find somewhere new to serve. Find somewhere new for God to use you. God wants to do something new, and it's time for new fruit. See, there's a reason why. There's a reason why at church we have pews. We don't, because, you know, we're modern, okay? And so churches will have pews. You want to know why they're called pews, right? People sit in them and stink them up. Look at the person next to you and say, "Have you been there a while?" It's time to position ourselves to experience God. And I want to tell you, if you are not, if you're like, "Man, I really want to grow in the things of God," get involved in Connect Group. Get involved at a church and serve. Be a part of where God's going with this place. So, you know, the front row, we all smelt bad because we rocked our face off up here, so we're all sweaty. We haven't been there a while. All right. Colossians 1:28 says, So we tell others about Christ. So like I already said, guys, it's hard to tell people about Christ if the last thing God did in your life was 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's time to start saying, "God, I want something new." And I'm telling you, the Bible says if you seek him, you'll find him. If you knock, the door will be opened. It's time as a church to say, "God, I want something new. I want something fresh, fresh today." And point number three, holiness is the bait that is needed to be fishers of men. Holiness is the bait to be fishers of men. People won't want what you have if you have the same thing they have. They won't. Well, I got that too. Your life will be the bait. And in order for your life to be the bait, we have to change the way we think. We have to renew our minds. We have to be in God's word. See what produces the good fruit? Our lives. We need to let God transform you into something new. I don't care if you're a new believer or if you've been a believer for 80 years, God wants to do something new in this place, in this season of where we're going with Southgate Church and where God is taking us. God wants to do something new in your life. Are you guys ready for something new? And it starts by God calling his people back to a state of holiness. And John, you can go ahead and come up. So in Colossians 1:28, we're going to end here. All right, on time. All right. Colossians 3. Colossians 1:28 says this. So we tell everyone about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship with Christ. All those churches out there that are just celebrating people for where they are, they will not be presenting their congregation to God in a perfect place in Christ. Because they haven't answered the call of holiness. And I want to tell you this morning, it's time to answer the call. But it says, I'm warning everyone. What are we warning everyone? What is this warning? Colossians 3:5-6 says this. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Do not be greedy, for a greedy person is an adulterer, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Don't be a fool. God is not mocked. He's coming for his church. We need to be ready. God, we are ready. And it goes on and says, you used to do these things when your life was still a part of the world, but now is the time. Now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off the old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on the new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Jesus Christ is all that matters. And He lives in all of us. Jesus is all that matters. He said, the time is now. The time is now. The time is now to put on a new man. The time is now to bear fruit. The time is now to be holy. The time is now to experience something new in God. Joshua 24:15, and choose today who you will serve. Choose today. You don't have time. You do not have time to say, I'll do it later. Choose today who you will serve. The time is now. The time is now. I was a youth pastor in Colorado for 6 years. And the public school there, there's such a demonic stronghold on that public school. Then in the 6 years I was there, at least 10 kids died. It's not the ghetto. It's not shoot people getting shot up. Just died. ATV accident. A guy caught an injured rabbit and got a disease and died. Oh, I'll do it later. I'll tell my family about God later. Now is the time. Choose today who you will serve. Well, I don't know how I'm going to get them to church. Oh, yeah, you do. Because all over the nation, there's people we call creasters. They show up to church at Christmas and Easter. They're creasters. Easter's coming up. There's a little card on your seat, or there should have been a card on your seat. Invite people to Easter. Come on. Now is the time. But it changes with the way we think. Until you submit to God's word, until you begin to renew your mind in God's word, nothing will ever change. You won't do it on your own. Go ahead and stand with me this morning as we close. Father God, I thank you for this morning, God. I thank you for what you're about to do in this place. If you're here this morning, you know, and you're like, man, I haven't positioned myself to receive from God. Now is the time. Choose today. Now is the time. If you're here this morning, like, you know, Pastor Isaac, I have not positioned myself to be experiencing all that God has. Just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you this morning. Choose today. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand choosing today. Father God, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you, God, for your word. And Lord God, we are saying we answer the call. Lord God, the people that are truly unashamed and say, I'll raise my hand. I'm not in that place. God, this is where your grace is. Amazing. And so God, I just pray that you begin to stir up something fresh and something new. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that we would never be the same again. Because the time is now. If you're here this morning and you know, you say, I just need something new. I need something new. Just raise your hand. Put your hand up. Say, I need something new. I'm going to pray for you this morning. The Holy Spirit is very real. And so often we put God in a box because we just, well, it's kind of, I don't know. Get ready. Get ready. Because God is going to do something amazing in this place. And if you say, I'm ready for something new, let's raise our hands and say, God, we want something new. God, your word says that if we seek you, we find you. So, Lord God, I pray that you would search our hearts, God, that you would show us the things that we need to move aside, Lord God, in order to position ourselves to poke that bubble. God, that we would, you would show us, God, the things in our life that we need to move aside. But most of all, God, I pray that you would give us the ability to find time to get up that extra couple hours, to get up, to stay awake that extra hour. Lord God, that you would give us the strength and the ability to go to something new in you. So Lord God, I thank you that this place is full of history makers. This place is full of city changers. And so God, we are ready. God, we ask for a new, fresh anointing in this place. We are standing in agreement, God. You know, God, even though we have our hour service, we're not opposed to staying longer. And so, God, we thank you that your word is true. God, we are ready for you. We are ready for more of you. There's somebody here this morning that you've been having it on your heart, like, oh, maybe I should sign up to serve somewhere, and you're like, nah, I don't know, and you keep like dragging your feet. No, I don't think I'm gonna do it. And this morning, I just want to tell you that the time is now. You will never be so blessed than you are when you serve and you do something for God. And I want to encourage you in that. So God, we thank you for what you're doing in this place. We are ready to position ourselves to receive from you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.